Good evening. My name is David Sorrell. I'm the Director of Utilities for the City of Columbia. I'd like to thank everyone in attendance and those watching at home. Tonight we're here to talk about cost of service studies, particularly for the sewer, stormwater, and solid waste utilities. Every year, as part of the budget, staff does an analysis of our rates and recommends rate adjustments if we feel they're needed for annually for our operations. And then every 5, 6, 7 years, we like to hire a professional to come in and do an analysis of our rates and our costs of providing services to make sure that our rates are consistent with our costs. We've gone through an RFP process and we've selected StanTech consultants to do this cost of service study, and tonight they're going to explain to us what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and just tell us about the process. So with that, I'd like to introduce Andrew Burnham with StanTech, and he can introduce his folks, and we'll begin this presentation.
Very good. Thank you, David. I appreciate the brief introduction and opportunity to be here. So for the benefit of everyone in attendance, both in person and virtually, my name is Andrew Burnham. I'm a vice president and director of management consulting at StanTech. I'm serving as the project director for the rate study for the city. And with me today is Kyle Stevens, a managing consultant within our team and who is serving as the project manager. So both Kyle and I will be going over some of the content this evening, and I'll kind of kick things off for the discussion. So by way of a bit of an agenda, if we go to the next slide, Kyle, just wanted to give a quick overview of and background of StanTech's financial services and capabilities in regards to rate studies, and then quickly get into an overview of the rate study process and breaking down each of the discrete elements of that process into a little bit of a conversation. And so I'll take us through that process and the revenue sufficiency component, and then turn things over to Kyle to talk about how we allocate costs, look at rate structures and customer impacts, and then ultimately close with a discussion and communication of the overall project timeline. So with that, just a little bit about StanTech's financial consulting practice or management consulting group. The team is over 35 specialists that focused on utility management issues and predominantly utility rate studies. The team has over 400 years of experience. We've worked with about 375 communities across the country. On average, our team does about 100 to 150 studies per year for communities across the country for these types of services. So we've acquired a great deal of information about a number of utilities that we like to bring to the table from a benchmarking perspective. And we also, through that capacity, have gained a lot of knowledge and intimate awareness of the financial markets and key reserve policies that can ultimately affect your credit rating and the interest rates for future borrowing. So we bring a lot of that knowledge and information to the table, along with StanTech's technical expertise in engineering and systems understanding that's at our disposal, which is very beneficial in rate studies in a number of ways. The rate study process itself is really a series of investigations that we kind of take one step at a time, and they're really trying to address fundamental questions. How much revenue do rates need to generate to cover the cost of the system? Not just operating costs today, but also future capital cost, related debt payments for outstanding infrastructure that's been previously financed with debt, making sure we factor in reasonable reserve levels for liquidity and covering our risks. And once we've determined how much money we need to generate for rates to cover the cost to provide the desired level of service in a community, we then take a look at from whom those costs should be collected. What types of cost of service are driven by different customer demands or service characteristics, so that we can make sure that our costs between the different customer classes are fair and equitable and are proportional to the costs that the demands are placing on the system in terms of the rates that they're paying. And the third question is really, how do we structure rates, or how do we collect the cost of service from our customers? Is it through base charges, volumetric rates? Maybe there's tiered structures potentially involved. That's an important part of the conversation, where we look at available data, system platform capabilities, but also industry trends, and consider the community's objectives, making sure that we're best balancing those and choosing the rate structure that really meets all of those different criteria. So first, starting with that initial question of how much revenue do we need, and a discussion on revenue requirements, As I mentioned, there's a multitude of things that we need to consider for each of these different utility systems when we look at establishing what those requirements are. It includes things like personnel expenses, operations and maintenance expenses, minor capital outlay for things like vehicles and equipment. As I mentioned before, outstanding principal and interest payments or annual debt service expenses for any outstanding debt, but also considering future capital projects and whether those would be cash funded or whether those would require additional borrowing, for which new principal and interest payments would have to be factored in, as well as appropriate reserves. And so each year we tend to look at all of those requirements, and they will change from year to year depending upon the plans of the utility relative to capital expenses and existing obligations for things like debt. And so ultimately through the process, you know, we're going to be able to really help you understand as stakeholders, what is the cost of providing the different services and what is that comprised of? So for instance, solid waste, you know, we're going to really be able to help answer the question of what does it cost for us from personnel, from operations and maintenance expenses and capital, all those components to really help remove and provide sanitation services within the community. Or from a wastewater perspective, you know, how much does it cost to really remove the wastewater from our homes and treat and dispose of it from a capital operating and personnel perspective? So we're going to come back as part of the process and have very clear answers about what are those requirements today, but also how do they change over time? And that's where we'll be providing and developing tools to do financial management planning and forecasting that will allow us to look at a number of different scenarios of spending adjustments, whether it's operations or capital, funding strategies for that capital, whether it's cash funding or debt funding, reserve policies, and alternative rate adjustment plans based upon those different needs. And we'll be able to compare those scenarios and side by side in real time. And the intent is to use this modeling framework not only today, but to also set it up in a way that it can be useful to the city for future updates, as mentioned by David, as part of the annual budget and rate setting process. One important point that, you know, I want to make when we talk about revenue requirements for utilities, many of us are familiar with inflation that we see as consumers, that's measured by the Consumer Price Index or the CPI that's maintained by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But the basket of goods that we have as individual homeowners or businesses are much different than what utilities have to face in terms of the significant amount of infrastructure and regulatory requirements that are present for providing these types of specific services. So if you actually were to take the Consumer Price Index that's out there, which is the purple line that measures about 190 different goods and services and the overall indexing of those cost to households, you can see how that trends over time versus just looking at the cost of garbage service or sanitation service, which over the last 20 years has risen by about 30% more than the overall CPI, or for the water and sewer maintenance series, you can see that has even more infrastructure requirements than what many sanitation systems do, in that and regulatory drivers have really caused the cost of water and sewer services to increase at about 2 to 3 times the rate of overall inflation. And so we're going to look very closely at the revenue requirements for each of these systems and to make sure we've got a clear understanding of what the likely drivers are for the city's specific utility systems over time. And so if you go to the next slide, Kyle, we'll be able to pay attention to the items that are really going to impact the outlook for the utilities. What are the capital investment needs to maintain the assets in a status of good repair and provide the level of service the community needs? We're going to look at operating cost pressures and try to factor in the programmatic additions or adjustments that may be needed for the operations to support desired community programs. For solid waste in particular, recycling market conditions are going to be a key factor in understanding what our financial system looks like going forward. And the regulatory environment for all three of these utility systems will likely manifest itself back into the capital investment needs in terms of what do we have to do relative to a water quality standpoint in particular within our infrastructure or within our service delivery, and making sure we have those needs properly identified and funded in our financial plan. And so we'll make sure as part of the process to tee up these key issues that really impact the results or the key drivers, so that we really enhance transparency in the process an understanding to the community of what is really driving the changes in the cost of service to the community as may be appropriate. So with that, Kyle, I'd like to turn over to you to talk a little bit about cost of service, rate design, and customer impact elements that we'll be getting into.
Absolutely, thank you, Andy. So with regards to cost of service, kind of the next incremental step after the revenue sufficiency that Andy just went through, and once we define the cost, the real question is, how do we split up those costs? And I would contend it's really trying to get a full understanding of systems that we have in place and how they deliver services to customers. And so in this particular case, we've just put up some of the data points that we'll be gathering and taking a really deep dive into. And so this is tonnage, commercial and residential, for solid waste. Sewer system, we'll be looking at flows, strength. So there's a number of different metrics by which we can measure customers' usage that we'll want to bring into the fold to help us ensure that the costs are proportioned proportionally to that usage of the system. With regards to stormwater, which is one of the utilities we'll be looking at, the key metric for consideration oftentimes is impervious area, the hard surfaces in a property that disrupt the normal process of water infiltrating the ground when there's a precipitation event. And you can kind of see on the map here the impervious area for the overall community, as well as on the really kind of detailed shot of some businesses and single family homes. We've taken a really deep dive to try to understand differences in the development characteristics of parcels and how that can be used for stormwater rate setting. With regards to cost of service, I like to refer to it as like an X-ray into expenses. So what we'll be doing is taking what we'd like to call a test year. In this case, it'll be fiscal year 22, looking at all of the different revenue requirements we have, subtracting off any miscellaneous charges or minor revenues we get, and then fundamentally organizing those expenses into different buckets or service delivery models. And so off to the right here, you can see for solid waste, that oftentimes will take the form of collection, material processing, if there's recyclables that need to be processed, and then finally landfilling or disposal, kind of three functions if you think about collecting solid waste all the way to the landfill. And then as we go down on the bars, there are a number of different types of customer classes that may touch these different service lines. So residential, refuse recycling, commercials typically serve through a different type of container, a front load or rear load, as well as roll off and recycling. And so it's creating a system by which we can represent the way that these utilities function in the real world and then split that cost up using the data that we have available and understanding of customer usage patterns. So measuring how customers use services, and another example to take it further on solid waste, collection, the number of pickups or containers that are out there in the field would be a really key statistic to understand how the collection system's working. Material processing, we'll be looking at the tonnage of material, container sizes, residential bags, and then disposal oftentimes is similar type metrics, the tons that are brought to the landfill. Container sizes or residential bags, again, as proxies for the amount of disposal. I mentioned miscellaneous fees. One of the key elements of this particular study, we'll be looking at miscellaneous fees and updating those miscellaneous fees for sewer, solid waste, and stormwater. And the way we go about doing that is having detailed conversations with city staff that best understands how these services are delivered, putting together cost schedules, labor schedules that can help us build up the cost and ensure that the city's charging the proper cost for these different fees that recover the cost of providing that service. Down at the bottom, it kind of shows a quick math behind that, the hour spent, cost per hour, unit cost of any maybe materials we have, and equals the cost of service for this type of unique fee. This example right here, we like to use when we get to the end of a cost of service. And so while there's a number of steps we need to go through to get here, what we're doing at the end of the day is a relatively simple comparison, looking at in gray here what rates are providing as revenues, and in orange what the cost of service is for different customers or service classifications. This is just an example But what this would show, if I stick on the residential side, is if we had 11.3 million in revenue and we found that it was 11.4 million in cost, that might be something we'd want to look into to ensure that we're properly collecting revenues for the cost that it takes us to provide services and understanding these differentials. Next, I'll move into rate designs. After we know from whom and where we should be collecting revenues, then we need to understand the mechanics of rates. So I'd like this slide to start off the discussion. When we talk about rates, there's a number of things that goes into it. First and foremost, at the very top, is the revenue requirement. So we need to ensure that for any rates we set up, they need to recover the right amount of revenue within that year that has been defined through the process to this point. But then after that, oftentimes we'll need to define the objectives of the community. I've put up a couple on here that often come up. And what I wanted to portray here is oftentimes they can push or pull against one another. So one of the ones that comes up a lot is simplicity. Oftentimes our rates to be simple, understandable, but then on the other side of that coin, I've got proportionality. We also want to make sure the rates are sensitive enough that when a customer uses our services differently that causes us to incur costs, the rates can account for that. Well, those two are oftentimes in conflict, because proportionality means you might need to have some complexity in the rates to account for that. And then finally, affordability or impact on customers, any kinds of rate changes that would be made in the study. We want to do a real detailed analysis on how that will affect customers' budgets, how that may affect behavior of customers. And that's a key consideration. And there may be others that we identify as we begin conversations on this particular element of the rate study. So with regards to how we think about rate setting, oftentimes it's really useful to put things in buckets. And so off to the left here is for solid waste, kind of components, if you will, again, using the analogy I just did on cost of service or the graphic I used on cost of service, collection, disposal, recycling, those are some key cost components. And then off to the right, how that charges is applied. So collection is fundamentally concerned with pickups. And so per pickup oftentimes is a good way to get that cost connected in rates to customers. Whereas the disposal cost, recycle processing cost, that much more is factored on how much a customer has as far as capacity of disposal or recycling capacity. So we want to understand container size or the number of bags that may be available to the customer. And so this kind of bucket approach will be really useful for us as we go through this study to be able to explain in a very straightforward way how we're taking costs and then attaching that to the various elements of the rate structure. In regards to wastewater, a little bit different there. So we've got some customer costs to the left, collection cost, and then treatment cost ultimately of wastewater. And how that charge is applied, oftentimes on a monthly basis, we'll have a fixed fee, which is represented in the gray. Customer costs are oftentimes a great thing to collect in there. And then additionally, we'll have a charge that's based on the amount of usage within a month, typically reflecting kind of thousands of gallons of usage there in the orange. Collection costs and treatment costs are very much concerned with how much usage is happening within a month. So it's oftentimes those cost components are attached to the volumetric charges. Now, one of the other elements that we'll be completing as part of the study, and we've done a little bit of that up front here, is comparing the cost of services within Columbia to other peer municipalities. And in this particular graphic, in orange, we're kind of showing the current cost here for solid waste, as well as to another community. You can see Columbia really falls in the middle of the pack currently here. Now, I always like to mention whenever we have a comparison like that, this is how the bills look, but there's oftentimes nuances here. So different communities may have different level of service. So it's all the ways that might be, what you can recycle, the frequency of disposal. So there's been no detailed analysis on the different level of services. Also thinking about how communities are funding these services. There can be differences between one of them. So I just bring that up so that we, on a level playing field, we think about different comparisons. This is a comparison of the wastewater bill at 5,000 gallons of usage, again, to a number of peer municipalities. You can kind of see that light line right in the middle. That's the average, right around $45 a month. Columbia currently is on the left side of this survey, on the cheaper side of it. And then the breakdown in the bars is fixed versus usage. So in this one, that's a very important distinction, how much the bill is fixed versus how much is floating with the amount of usage within it. Again, we'll be updating this. This will be something key, again, as we make any modifications to the rate structure, thinking about how that will impact customers and ultimately impact where these bills will fall in the survey. The last one here I've just brought up is the stormwater bill. This one looks exactly like solid waste in the sense that Columbia, Missouri, you know, we stack up in this initial survey. It's right in the middle of the path with regards to other peer communities that are nearby with regards to the monthly stormwater bill. With regards to customer impacts, one of the key things we'll be doing with any recommended changes any of the three utilities we'll be examining is really detailed customer impacts. And I put this table up, and this is an example from the last study that was conducted for the sewer side. And you can see here off to the right side of this that at different usage levels, we're going to have different impacts. And this is just an example, but we'll be updating and using very similar graphics like this to help display the different impacts that customers may see from rate modifications. We've also highlighted on here some really key usage levels, the average usage level within the community. So that's what a lot of customers will see on a monthly basis, but there are customers that'll be at higher or lower usage levels. And so key takeaway here is we'll be taking a really in-depth look at this, make sure we fully understand how customers will be impacted from any recommended changes. Example non-residential. So while residential is a pretty uniform category, their usage is pretty similar. Oftentimes when we talk about non-residential or commercial type users, they have very different usage configurations that are sized to meet their economic needs or production needs. And so put an example up here, again, for the last rate study of just commercial customers, the particular bill impacts that they would have seen at that point in time. Be updating a lot of this and trying to think about good examples of how to explain when we have changes in the structure, how that would then impact different customers that have very different type connection sizes and usage characteristics with regards to wastewater. Another way to show bill impacts is to show them in a more consolidated format. What is a typical household? So this is one we've used in a number of different places that we'll be looking to use as part of this rate study, which just puts together kind of the kitchen table effect, I like to say. So this is a two-person household, 4,000 gallons of monthly use of water, sewer, one dwelling unit for stormwater, and then standard solid waste service. I'm talking about what's that current bill today? If the changes that are recommended go through as part of the study, again, this is just an example here in this particular slide, you know, what would be their effect when they look at the total, sum total of the utilities that we're receiving in a month? And oftentimes that's just really helpful because when customers receive the bill, they see the dollar at the very end, even though there oftentimes is a number of different services that are included in that. So what's the total effect? We want to be really careful in understanding that. The next example here is just, again, a typical household, but in this one, we've changed just a couple of characteristics. So this might be a closer examination of a larger household. So upping the usage characteristics to 6,000 gallons per house. Maybe this includes outdoor usage. It includes more persons within the house, so a higher occupancy rate. You know, what would that total bill look like in this particular case? And it's a higher number, and in this example, a higher change overall the bill. And so we'll be tailoring these to the particular community here that we're looking at and making sure that we're very representative of what the average customer would see, a number of average customers within the community. This is just an example of commercial rates in thinking about commercial services. It's one of the particular elements of the rate study. Those are a bit different than residential pickup. Wastewater, again, the size of the container is really bigger on the left. They have a number of different service configurations and women can be different changes at those different sizes depending on the different outcomes of the study. So, again, just we'll be looking at a totality of impacts, we'll be looking at variety of impacts so that we can really clearly communicate as part of this rate study how any proposed changes would affect the community. So the last thing I wanted to go over is the rate study timeline. We had a meeting in March with the FAAC. Tonight's meeting is really the rate study 101 here on the 20th of April. And then really we'll be getting into those investigations that Andy talked about at the beginning of this presentation relatively quickly. And so you can see their revenue sufficiency will be happening in the latter part of April. cost of service, June, rate design in July, miscellaneous fees at the end of July. We're really aiming to start to wrap up the study as we move into the latter part of August, September 3rd, the week there, to have a second meeting that would have all of the results contained within that presentation. And then finally, at the end of the study, a presentation of the results to the council in a work session. And we're shooting for October. So with that, I'll end the formal comments and presentation and open it up for any questions or comments.
Well, gentlemen, I don't think we have any questions from the audience this evening. So I guess I would say thank you for your presentation and look forward to working with you as this process moves forward.
Absolutely. And we look forward to it as well.
Likewise. Thank you, David.
One more thing. We will have a open forum that will still remain open for people to submit comments on this topic for an additional week. Is that correct? Oh, until this Friday. So if anybody watching wants to ask questions, that'll be open until Friday on the city's website.